Hello and welcome to Fueling Around with me, Jason Plater, and the man who's just as big a kid at heart, it's Dave Vitti.
Hello.
Now, Fueling Around is powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help you save money on your car, your bike, or even your home insurance. Dave, kid at heart, just like me. How are you, mate?
Well, that's the one thing we've got in common, isn't it? Because, I mean, the thing is that much as, you know, you're a couple of years older than me, Jason, now, but
really?
You have always been and will always be a man boy, and that's why we love you.
Well, mate, there's only one of us that's done a forward roll over a Ford Capri, and it ain't me.
Which probably exists on YouTube somewhere. And
don't
talking
worry,
of...
I can send it you, don't you worry. I can post it.
Oh, you've got it, haven't you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. Listen, enough about us. I'm excited today. And that's not to say that I'm not ordinarily excited about our guest, but I'm particularly excited today. In fact, if I was to describe my excitement, Jason, I would say that I'm a little bit like a small child in a confectionery emporium.
Wow. Cola cubes, sherbet lemons, dib dabs, all of those things.
Of that.
Yeah. Lusting at all over the counter stuff.
Indeed. Easy for you to say.
Well, I know. That's because I've had too much tea this morning. Mm. Anyway, our guest today. Well, you know what? She's a lady that we've been trying to get on this podcast since we started what is probably about 50 episodes ago. Yeah. God, she's hard work to get hold of. And today, we've done it. She's a fashion model, a TV presenter, a racing driver, no less, which means, do you know what? She knows a thing or two about cars and what it's like to be behind the wheel of some quite sexy bits of kit. It is, of course, the one and only... Jodie Kidd. Hi, darling. How are you?
Hey.
Yay.
That was quite an intro. That was a really lovely intro.
It's
I like
all
how
fact.
You weaved in, weaved in Kidd in the sweet shop there. I love it.
Well, listen, it's all downhill from here, Jodie Kidd. Honestly, that is, we always start off with the best bit and then the rest is largely disappointing. Yeah. But I want to kick off by firstly saying thank you so much for being on the show. We have genuinely been trying to get you on for about 50 episodes. It's brilliant to get you on now.
Sorry.
I want to start off by talking about Kidd in the Sweet Shop on YouTube. And my question is this. Did you come up with the title and then come up with the concept to fit it? Or did you have the concept and then build the title into there? Because it's such a good title for that series. I'm suspecting it was option A.
It was B, actually. I came
was
up with
it?
The idea. And then a friend of mine that's helped me along the way of doing Kidd in a Sweet Shop came up with a name. We were kind of bouncing around because I remember kind of like always like if you were in a newspaper or something, they used to always make a play of Kidd, you know, kidding around or kidding or something. So we thought, getting the surname in there would be a good idea. But Kidd in a Sweet Shop came up and it's great. It definitely suits the channel really well.
So, look, it's a brilliant series, Jodie, but for those who haven't seen it, tell us all about it. Give us a bit of a synopsis.
It's basically, because I haven't come from a journalistic background, I've come from someone that loves cars, that, ended up racing cars and doing, wonderful European series with Maseratis and, kind of went on this mad tangent. But I'm not a journalist, so I didn't want to sit and kind of drive the new, Ford, whatever, or I wanted to do something different. I wanted to be around cars.
No one ever does.
No, that's quite true, actually. So it's kind of, I get to talk to people around cars that love cars, whether it's designers, whether it's, people that have amazing collections, whether it's, it's kind of just people that have that same passion and love that I have about around cars. And then if there's a wonderful kind of unicorn car, then I will just kind of do that one on my own. But it's just a kind of celebration of the people and the wonderful car industry.
Well, and that's why the title works so well, because genuinely, when you watch it, you look like you're having the most fun in the world. You look like you're just, this is the best job you could ever have for somebody that, yeah. that is you, you know?
And I just find, I find it so interesting and kind of getting in the heads of people that literally spend their whole life just either obsessing about the new Ferrari that's coming out, or, you know, sitting on auction websites waiting for this, you know, yeah. wonder car to come up for auction, or, you know, brilliant designers. I've got actually lovely Frank Stephenson. He designed all of mm-hmm. his, what he actually gave to me up behind there, kind of like his prints. You know, I just love getting in the brains of people around cars, and I love it. I'm just like a little sponge. So the series has been great. It's just been a bit of a kind of a roller coaster and kind of, you know, wondering what to do, because YouTube is a funny old place. It's very strange, and algorithms and all of these things, because I'm kind of quite used to doing, like I did, you know, Channel 5 car show, you know, all about classic cars. Yeah. And I'm kind of used to that format, and TV to YouTube is so different. It's been a lot of kind of navigating through that, trying to understand, you know, that it's a whole nother language, which is the world of YouTube. And then just constantly trying to find people with wonderful collections or wonderful cars that are coming out, or, you know, so it's brilliant. It's brilliant. But it's a lot of kind of phoning up and going, hi, can I come and do this? And they're like, well, no one's actually ever seen my collection. And I'm like, no, they must. It's amazing.
So you've been wearing out the black book then?
Oh my God, it's exhausted. It's absolutely exhausted. I've still got to get to Ralph Lauren though. So he's like he's my number one, because I used to do the catwalk when I was a model. I used to work for him. And then I have this kind of the polo kind of background with him as well, because I was a polo player. But he's, you know, God, I've got to get through Simon Kidston first before I can get his number.
Hey, here's a question, which no doubt, it's just come to me now, and no doubt anyone who's ever watched anything to do with fashion, and bearing in mind you were for quite a number of years right at the very, very pinnacle of it. Do you get, even now to this day, that's a, you know, in the past, do you still get deals on all your gear or not? do you know what I mean? Do you not? Surely you must have like a discount code with your mate Ralph. Do you know or not?
No. Really? I mean, I think I should. Yes. No, unfortunately not. No, I wish. No, they're notoriously stingy, especially the top, your Chanel's and all of it, very stingy.
You know why he's asking this, Jodie, don't you? Because he's hoping for some exactly kind of associated friends and family thing. You know, listen, Jason, I can probably have a word with Debenhams or someone like
that.
Can
you? Yeah. Army and Navy.
I mean, you do need a new wardrobe, though.
Shut up.
There's no denying that.
Now listen, Jodie, and my great friend Dave can vouch for this. We had Mr. D. Gandhi on our series last year.
David, his name is.
And David, absolutely, without any prompting, volunteered and said, look, do you know what? I think you could have a career, JP, now that you're out of mud races, in the modelling area. What's your take on that?
I'm not quite sure. I don't think he would have said that. But, you know, I love that that's what you took away from the podcast, was that was what you only heard.
He was only on about foot modelling, though, I must say.
Yeah, he wanted him to like fashion a new autumn-winter sock collection.
Yeah.
Got lovely hands.
Yeah. Socks and gloves, I think, is your
department. Do you know what? I'm surprised that you don't have that a deal. Are you not, Dave?
A little bit, yeah. You know, I mean, because what did he said to us? He said, call us David, didn't he? I mean, I think that we left that as very much, you know, close friends.
I mean, he hasn't called up for me to model for his autumn winter collection on his website. I did volunteer.
Several times.
But he said it's not autumn winter. It's what did he say? He said it's swimwear. I went, right, I'll leave that just there then. I'll see you later.
Joni, bringing you back to something that is possibly, you know, sort of less stomach turning. Take us back to the very beginning, if you will, in terms of cars. What are your earliest car memories that you can recall as a little girl?
Gosh, well, I mean, the first memories I had was, Dad was a massive BMW fanatic, and so he always had the new 5 series, the new 3 series. You know, this was the kind of, that was his life treat, was, you know, anytime there was a new Beamer, yeah, he got one. Not that we were allowed in it or to touch it or anything like that, but, and also, and I, my grandmother had one of, there's this wonderful story that I was brought up with, that when the M1, was it M1 first opened?
BMW M1?
No.
Oh, no, the motorway.
This is going all the way back. My grandmother said, well, I've got to go and experience this car. So she went off and bought an E-Type. And then there's this lovely story of her, like a couple of months later, then going up the M1, hitting 100 miles an hour in the E-Type, because it was something that, you know, that you couldn't, there wasn't a road straight enough to do that. So I remember these kind of wonderful stories of my grandmother that was a wonderful adventurer and loved cars until she had an accident, went through the windscreen and actually took half her face off. She still had some beautiful, beautiful cars. And so I think that was just very, from a small age, kind of ingrained into me that, you know, and especially
you've got some of her genes.
Yeah. I mean, you don't get a more prettier car, I don't think. So Dad loved his Beamers. But to be honest, I didn't even get my driving license until I was about 21, because I was modelling. And so I literally was picked up in a car, dropped off at an airport, picked up in a car, went to a studio to go and do photographs. And I just didn't need a car. And it wasn't until I moved out to the country in my early 20s that I was like, oh, got to get my license, which I failed the first time, I have to say.
That preempts my question, actually. I was just about to say, you know, it's everyone's milestone when we pass our test. A, did you pass first time? And B, when was it? So how come you failed?
Speeding, ironically.
Good girl. Good girl. I mean,
you're going to fail for something. That's a good one to fail for,
yeah,
I think.
But passed the second time. So, God, when was it? I don't know. A long time ago. 20 years ago? How old am I? 45 now. Yeah, so about that. A bit longer.
Dave, long time Dave ago. Passed first time. I didn't. I was third time, but Dave's the first time.
Were you third?
Yeah, third time, yeah. Yeah.
See, I'm surprised about that, because I would have thought that you were the first timer as well, Jason. But
No, not at all. Third.
No.
So, Jody, talk us. what was the first car then? Where does the automotive journey start, you know?
Well I actually had my dad moved to another country for work, and I actually took over his 7 series, which was very, very lovely. As a first car, I had a lovely, but it was old. It was much old. It was about, you know, God, I can't remember what year it was, but, you know, it wasn't a brand new one at all. So I was wafting around in my early 20s. That was the first one. I had it. Oh, my God, they're such good runners. You know, they just go and go and go. So, God, I had it for a long time. And then I did a modeling job. They sponsored London Fashion Week, and it was Rover. And so they said, we want you to be the face of London Fashion Week, and we'll give you a Rover 75.
I hope you told them to stick it up where the sun don't shine.
I took it, a Rover 75. And I had to do all the advertising. I found the pictures the other day. I was like,
please share them for us. We can put them out next to this podcast. They attract millions.
I burnt them. Anyway, so I then had a Rover 75. I mean, you know, dearie me.
Do you know
what?
To go
where I went after that.
To go from a 7 series, where I guess you were always the dedicated driver, because it's like a limo, isn't it?
Mm.
To a Rover 75. That's some downgrade, isn't it? even though it's free.
But I made up for it. After the 75, I got a Ferrari 550, one of the world speed record ones.
Hello.
So I mean, I can, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so I made up for it. Yeah, that was that was when I first kind of got my first big proper job, and where I went, you know, I've always wanted a Ferrari. I've loved horses my whole life. And that was, for me, that was the pinnacle of, do you know what, that I've done good. I've made it. I mean, I had to sell it a couple of years later, but I had it.
Do you know what, Jodie? Same as me. First time I earned some cash, that was the first proper car I bought, was a 355.
Oh, it's kind of like, it's, you know, that's it. That's my goal. And I've done it.
Even now,
I can afford to run it.
Even now, it's a really beautiful looking classic. Well, it's not a classic. Is it a classic yet?
I mean, it will be.
Yes, it is.
It's beautiful,
isn't it? It's just so simplistic, and it's just so incredibly beautiful. And there's my obsession with, you know, front engined Ferrari V12s.
Pardon, we'll edit that out. Did you say front engine? No, stop it.
Oh, sorry. Well, it's in front of you, isn't it? No. But the V12s, those long, beautiful noses, just the epitome of beauty. Just, you know.
And did you know where all the tunnels were? Because I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course I did. I went straight to the the Hindhead Tunnel at about 300 miles an hour.
That's a belter, isn't it?
That's a good one. That's one of my favourite tunnels. Mm.
Yeah. So that's
a proper good tunnel.
Yeah. So that was redemption. But yeah, beautiful, beautiful. And it was one of the world speed record ones. So it had kind of roll cage, had a bigger fuel tank, had all the racing kind of gearbox and everything. So it was lovely. And the first thing I did, which I actually really kicked myself in doing, but I went and got a massive speaker system in it. Like the whole boot. The whole boot. You couldn't put anything. I mean, it was a tiny boot anyway. But you couldn't put anything in because it was just full of fans and amplifiers. And I had the whole back shelf that was just like massive subwoofers. So I used to like bounce around in my Ferrari playing outrageous music. Anyway, there you go.
Jason, was that the Ferrari that you promised yourself by the time you were 30?
It
actually arrived, was it fractionally after your 30th? But essentially that was your target, wasn't it? You'd kind of said, by the time I'm this age, I want a Ferrari, and you essentially did it.
Yes, but interestingly enough, publicly I was still 29.
Oh, okay.
Because in the 20, like when I was 27, someone 28, I'd managed to winkle a year off my age as far as breasts were concerned. So publicly, I'd made it, right? Yeah. Shortly after my 29th birthday. But amusingly, I was at Williams, obviously, because that was the first time I earned some cash. And back in those days, we were testing in the BTCC, literally on a weekly basis. And we'd often go abroad to, say, France to do some testing with our engine people. Yeah. And if we did, we'd go on a little private charter, you know.
Lovely.
And that would be a hand in your passport thing. Anyway, the team manager had clocked. There was a difference between my real age and what everybody thought I was, right? And I kid you not, on my 30th birthday that week, they took out, Williams took out a double page spread in Autosport, which is our weekly Bible. Yeah. And they managed to find a picture of me looking like a little bit confused. And it just said, this man's got a problem. He doesn't remember his birthday.
How did they do that?
And they said, happy 30th, JP. But you're right, Dave. I mean, that was my target.
Absolutely. You know, and the good news is as well, Jody, is that, you know, these days he's owning up to the fact that he's 37, you know, so obviously the lying is
stuck. Stuck on 37.
Jody, in terms of the cars then, would you say that was the Ferrari, would that be your favourite car that you've owned? Or is there something else even more sexy?
Well, I mean, aesthetically, just beautiful. And, you know, and I earned every penny of it and, you know, worked incredibly hard to get it. But then I've been very, very lucky to, you know, have been kind of ambassadors for different car brands. So, mm-hmm. you know, I was ambassador for Maserati because I was racing for them for many years. So I had, you know, all of the Grand Sports and with that Grand Sport, I really loved actually. I had some of the first Maserati Spiders, which were not so good. But then when I got the Grand Sport, that was a fantastic car. And then after Maserati, I went to JLR and I managed to nab an F-Type for a couple of years, okay. which was just an hysterical car that just was like a go-kart on steroids. I mean, it's just, you just go sideways everywhere. Mm. It's just brilliant. Mm. And then I went on to BMW, one of my favorite BMWs. Oh gosh, I was very lucky to have some of the new M8, I thought was a lovely looking car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really, really like that one. And now I'm with Ford. I love Ford.
You've gone back to the pretty car.
I'm looking at my Ford Ranger Raptor, which brings me more joy than anything in the world. So I've been very, very lucky to have these associations. But of course, I have to go and launch cars and work for cars. Nothing's really in life for free.
In terms of present day then, Jody, what is the current everyday driver? Indeed, what's in the fleet? You've already mentioned the Ranger Raptor, right? Now, is that the daily drive? Because I must admit, I think this comes into middle-age, you know, sort of crisis territory, but I quite fancy a pickup truck.
Oh, it's the best thing in the world. I mean, I actually look out the window and
I've just been watching you longingly look out the window.
Yeah, looking out of it. I want to pick up the whole great big computer and show you. But no, I do. My daily drive is an Audi RS6.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's a nice.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's very nice. I've obviously got it chipped and tuned, and I'm about to put some Macrocoach downpipes on it, and just, you know, this period of life that I should have gone through, my teenagers buzzing up cars. But the thing is, when you're in the Audi, when it's chipped and tuned, all you want to do is listen to the backfiring.
Of course. Yeah.
It's so magical.
That's quite some impression of some backfiring. That's what we honestly, we've had Greg James on, who can do. He could no. His dog was it his dog who made this.
His dog. He reckoned his dog sounded like an AMG Merc.
Yeah,
it would just kind of like sort of growl, nice. Didn't it? And it was a really deep kind of throaty thing. But no, I mean your impression of the backfire. It's like a fireworks display.
It's quite something.
Did. Yeah, I mean it could have just driven past the window. To be honest, so similar.
So there's got to be a motoring itch that you're yet to scratch.
Oh, God, well, it's got to be the Ferrari 250 California Spider. But I think that's the scratch that I might not be able to get.
I'm with you on that. It's the prettiest car that's ever been made.
Yeah.
Arguably.
Ever. I like the short wheelbase, though. The long, I find it just a little bit, you know, even though I do say how much I love the long Ferrari V12 noses, but I think it is just the most prettiest, and I've driven it, so I've been so lucky to drive, and it's magical.
Really?
Yes. Oh my God, it's the best day of my life.
Where?
Yeah.
In Wales.
Where?
I drove it around Wales.
Probably
about 15 years ago, maybe a bit less. And I did it with the Classic Car Show. They managed to find some wonderful person that loaned me my favorite car ever. And I was weeping. I was like, it was blue skies. I was doing these beautiful roads around Snowdonia. And I was weeping. I just thought, I'm never gonna have this moment again for the rest of my life. And it was just, I mean, it brings me goosebumps now. It's how special that day was.
Jody, electric cars, have you, would you, what's your take?
Oh, I am. I'm a bit controversial with this. You know, I love our beautiful planet. I live in the countryside. You know, every day switching on the news to some horrific, you know, weather phenomenon that's going on it's happening very quickly. And so I'm an advocate for trying to make a balance for this naughty side of my life, which is, you know, great big engines. And so I try and outdo that, you know, trying to outdo myself on kind of environmental things to make that balance, if you see what I mean. But I just can't do, I can't do it. I mean, I also know that, you know, I think hydrogen will be the way forward. I really do. And I think that it will come to a point where we will be able to keep our cars, and there'll be some brilliant genius that's going to come up that's going to put an adapter into the hydrogen and into the engine. This is my dream, and it will happen. Someone has to do it. But, you know, also we don't know how to kind of with the lithium, you know, there's so many bad stories and knowledge that people are now knowing about how actually that they're not that much more environmentally friendly than, you know, just having a car that might be, you know, hybrid or something like that.
Do you think that maybe it's also to do with, you know, different people, different lifestyles, where you live? Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But for example, if you lived in central London, Jody, you know, I think would maybe be a case for having an electric city car, and then you could still have whatever you wanted to then sort of blast out of town and obviously, you know, enjoy driving,
have a balance.
We all do, but
exactly.
But I think when you live in the country as you do, and the infrastructure isn't great yet at the moment, and the range isn't great on a lot of these things, so for you personally, I would imagine that it doesn't really work, which I think is a fair point.
I think it's a fair point.
No, 100% rurally, it's impossible. I mean, you know, I've had friends, because I've lived in the country all my life. I've had friends that want to do that, really desperate, went into EVs, and just the infrastructure, the amount of different charging areas, it's just you spend literally hours a day either going off from where you're supposed to be going because you've got to go miles away to find a point. And then you spend God knows how long because you've got some kind of dribble of electricity happening in this gas station in, you know, in Hampshire or whatever. So I think if it was easier, 100% if I lived in the country, I think they're brilliant. I certainly will not say no to a Rimac.
I know what you mean now. That is that's some tool, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. And now you've got the most, you know, you've got the biggies coming out with some extraordinary looking machines that are going to be very, very exciting to drive. And the power, the instant, you know, that's the wrong word, whatever it is, that instant power is just mind boggling.
So at your pub, the Half Moon, have you installed electric charger points?
No, but I am.
Oh, are you?
Yes, we are. It's actually, I had a couple of people that came down, and because we are a rural pub and we're not, we haven't got three-way, this is how boring this is, we haven't got three-way for our electric, so we have to actually dig a big trench to pull it off the main thing. So it started getting very complicated, but I think that was years ago, I think, when we first had conversations about getting charging points there. Literally only about a month ago, I had someone else down to put some points in. So I'm an advocate. I think it's wonderful. And if you have that time in your life, you know, then brilliant. Well done.
And are you still offering that amazing deal, which is 2-for-1 if you bring a Ferrari with a great big long bonnet and a V12 in there? Are you still doing that deal?
free for all Ferrari.
Oh,
free
for it.
Oh dear. No, we haven't. You haven't come to. Have you come to the pub?
I've been to the pub yet. Yeah,
I wasn't there though, was I?
You weren't there. No, and we had a really lovely lunch actually. It was great. Really lovely time.
Jason, you know what we need to do is that we need to do the maths on this, because we need to work out what it would cost us to hire the right cars that would then get us a free lunch. But we need to work out what the value of the lunch and the all-dayer is as opposed to what the higher fees are.
It's not cheap there. It's good. No, it's not.
Right, okay.
I mean, it's quality. You only get what you pay for.
Shut up. You only get what you pay for. God's sake.
It's really great value for money.
And to
see Jodie Kidd pulling pints in an apron.
He's not in an apron.
A penny.
Yeah. After kneading the dough. It's lovely, but I'm so proud of it. I can't believe that when we first got it 8 years ago, we went kind of straight into Brexit. So couldn't find, team members anywhere. It suddenly became really difficult. Then into a pandemic. Now into the cost of living. I'm going, is there anything else you want to throw at us? Poor hospitality industry. But it's good. And we've got two rosettes. So we're really foodie and it's lovely destination. It's a great pub.
Dave, we'll go. We won't do the maths. We'll just go.
Yeah.
We'll just go, shall we?
I'll tell you what we'll do. Here's the idea.
I'll treat you.
Let's hire a Rover 75 and rock on.
No, don't. I don't think I've seen one on the road for a very long time.
All your dreams could be coming true, Joe, kid, in about 2 weeks' time.
My God. Yeah. No, 250, please.
So here's a question. There's a couple of questions, Jodie, that we ask all of our guests. And this is the first one. If out of your, and I know it's not going to be the Rover, but if out of your history of all cars that either you've been loaned or given or paid for, all of them, if you had to just stick with one for the rest of your life, what is it and why?
She's looking at the Raptor, by the way.
She's lusting after the Raptor.
Honestly, for those that are only on the audio version of this, just at that moment, Jodie turned ahead and she looked out the window longingly towards the Ranger Raptor.
And I was trying in my head to go, okay, is it going to be the Lamborghini Murcielago? Is it going to be the Ferrari 550? Or is it going to be my Ranger Raptor? I can't do this. No, because I love the RS6 as well, because it's practical. Yeah. It's unbelievably quick. It's an impossible, horrible question, and I can't bear it.
You've only got one. You can only choose one. What's it going to be?
I'm going to say the Audi.
It's got to be, hasn't it? It's got to be the Audi. As much as the Raptor is great, right? Yeah. It's got to be the Audi because it does everything. I mean, you can even do tip runs in it. And it does everything else.
And it's got to be that quick.
I think that makes total sense, Jodie.
Yeah, me too.
Jodie, this is a question that we ask all of our guests, and this will be the final question for today, and it is this. Jason and I always say that music and cars go well together, so we need your fantasy drive, please, if we can. Where are you? Where are you going? What are you listening to? And most importantly, what are you driving?
I should have listened to your podcast because I would have been a lot more prepared. Jesus. Okay, so where am I? Where am I? I'm going to be going, I think, probably down the, I think it's called the Julia Pass, which is in Switzerland. I'm going to be listening to Bob Marley. I'm going to be in the 250 going down those switchbacks. It's going to overheat and I'm going to come off the edge of that mountain. So no, let's think of something a little bit more modern. This is so tricky. Why don't I just be kind of boring and go with a, not that this is a boring car, but maybe just a Bugatti or something.
I can't believe you've ditched the 250.
No, because I'm thinking practicality in. It's going to overheat. They're drum brakes. I'm going to be. Are they drum brakes? I think
they are on the rear. Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to get hot, and I'm going to come off the edge of that mountain. So that's why I was thinking Bugatti, very quick. It's going to go around those corners. Absolutely beautiful. You know, Chiron, definitely. And then it's just a very pleasurable, very, very quick car to drive. And I've literally just filmed them for Guinness Sweet Shop. So it's all I could think of. There we go.
So let's just wind back a bit, and I know that Dave will endorse this. So let's just pretend you're in the 250 short wheelbase.
Yeah,
Cali.
250.
You've got Bob Marley on, the sun's shining, the roof's down. You're on that beautiful Swiss road. What are you wearing? Have you got like a big floppy hat and big glasses on? 60s
style?
You're
being pervy, Jace.
No.
You're thinking headwear.
It's got to be a floppy hat and big 60s glasses, has it not?
Yeah, no. I think hair's got to be going. It's got to be flowing. Yeah, big pair of sunnies on. Yeah, definitely comfy. You've got to be comfy because you've got to just. Yeah. The last thing you want to do is be in some tight outfit that you can't breathe in. You've got to be flowing and free and just living in the moment.
And on that note, Jason, I think you need to take us out, sir.
Oh, do you know what? I think I do. But I am going to make the call to the old Rover dealer this afternoon. Let me tell you about that. So, unfortunately, that is it for this week's Fueling Around, powered by Adrian Flux, the UK's largest specialist insurance broker. Adrian Flux, well, they'll tailor a quote to your exact needs and help save you money on your car, your bike, or your home insurance. As always, Dave, thanks to you. But a huge guest. No, that's
wrong. I am huge. I'm 6'2".
To our very special guest this week, the one and only free flowing hair, 250 hair, Jodie Kidd.
Hey,
she's one of the hugest guests we've ever had. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Jason Plater or at David Vitti. And if you like what you've heard, feel free to give us a 5-star rating, press the follow button, and share the podcast on all your socials.
Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. And well, we'll catch you next time. Ta-da.